You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Welcome you if you're already here, been here. But we love your presence. And we love you. And as I speak now for a few moments, I want to ask you, Lord, to help us catch more of your heart. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Kyleone. So I want to speak today. We got the clips up there, Naomi. On two P's, two words beginning with P. There's a number of P's I want to look at over the weeks ahead. Not sure how we'll fit it all in. But you can guess the first P, which of course is presence. In a moment, we will see a scripture from Mark chapter 3, verse 13 coming up, and it says this: Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. We'll come back to that scripture a little bit later. But today I want to look at presence and purpose. Power is another P coming up later. Presence and purpose. And when I talk about presence, I want to talk about today connecting it to purpose, because I believe they both, in God's eyes, go together. Presence leads to purpose. But we need to understand something. God is everywhere. So I want to understand what we're talking about. He is omnipresent. Unlike Satan, by the way, Satan isn't everywhere. I can assure you he's not here in the pavilion, thank God. I'm not quite sure where he will be, probably in some of the other strongholds of whatever, but God's everywhere. And sometimes we think Satan's everywhere, and I just, no, Satan's an ant compared to God. God is everywhere, he's omnipresent. He existed before time, and he will go on through all eternity. He was involved in creation. He lives in heaven, and yet he lives here on earth. He is here in the pavilion, and he's with us when we come, and he's with us when we go. He's in Australia, he's in America, he's in Africa. He's with us when we're in need, and he's with us when we have plenty. He's with us when we're watching TV or playing football. And he's with us when we're giving food to the hungry. He never leaves us. That's the New Testament promise for Christians. And he fills this earth with his presence and his glory. We've not gotten there yet. We're working on it. Okay. But when I'm talking about God's presence today, I'm not talking about omnipresence. Even that conviction that we hold on to, and sometimes we have to hold on to in faith, that he will never leave us. That's all true. What I'm talking about is felt presence, tangible presence. That sense of, whoa, he's come. He's here. Wow. A spiritual connection takes place. And of course, he was always here. But there are times when he makes himself more known and more real, tangible enough to be experienced. That's why I wanted to play that song to start with. It talks about that sense of loving, that felt presence of God. And he can be experienced in different ways. But presence is a promise. And presence is essential for us as Christians. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is one significant expression. When he comes, he overwhelms. He drenches you. He empowers you. That's why he said to the disciples after he left, or was about to go, he said, you wait in Jerusalem. You need that empowering. That empowering sense of his presence needed to come upon them. Why? To fulfill purpose. But he wanted them to come and to experience him. Shortly after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, there were times I would just leave my family watching TV and I'd go up to my bedroom to meet him. And it's like so often he would just come. And I would sense that presence of God filling the room. And I'd fall on my knees. And there were times when I would just weep before him. He was there. He'd come to visit me. Now, he was there all the time. But significant times of experiencing God. And I didn't want to leave. And I never told anybody, but I would just make my way up on those occasions and just meet with him in a special way. It was different from reading my Bible and saying my prayers. This was encounter. I remember other times, I used to work in a building society, sitting at my desk, phones ringing, staff chatting, people coming and going. And it's like just on occasions, the sense of his presence would just well up within me. Joy would overwhelm me. And I had trouble containing that emotion. Sometimes just bursting out with expressions of joy, and I just hoped that nobody was close enough to see or to hear or were paying much attention. Just as I was doing my work, he would come. He was real. He was alive. For years, I'd been a church-going sort of Christian, but never experienced God. Never experienced him in a tangible way. For years, I didn't often sing, actually, but, I would put my hands in my pockets, but I was there. But then he began to come, and my life was different. Okay, these were special days, honeymoon days, if you like, that sense of his presence, but for nearly a year, I just walked in that sense of closeness with God. It was felt presence. And I want to say, church, I think it's important that we seek felt presence. I want to talk about purpose. Yeah, that's my plan. That was my aim. But as I was planning this talk, I just realized purpose comes out of presence. That nearness, that peace or joy which he brings. That joy or that peace which is beyond understanding. Things might be going wrong in the world. Things might be going, it might be difficult out there. All sorts of challenges we might be facing. Or we might be having the whale of a time and great holidays and great times. But he still just wants to break in and let us know he's there, he's with us, and he's for us. And I want to say, once you've tasted his presence, you know. You can't settle for anything less. So in worship, it can be songs, it can be good songs, it can be good music, and it's all good. Or it can be good or not so good, but then he comes. And everything's different. Do you experience that here? It's not like every Sunday, every minute. But some Sundays, for me, some of the time, wow, he's come. And he comes for us and he comes for you at different times, in different ways. And maybe I'm not experiencing him in the same way as somebody in the back row. And he's still here. He's still here. And somebody in the back row might just be overwhelmed with the presence of God. I remember somebody walking through the doors of our school where we used to meet, a non-Christian. And he just couldn't move. He just couldn't move. It was like he was stuck. There was a supernatural presence there. And the rest of us just wandered through and didn't notice anything. But for that moment of time, God just revealed himself to that particular individual. In August, we usually do things a little bit differently on Sundays, done it for quite a few years now. And I remember many years ago, we were just experimenting with different instruments and musicians. And you know, if you don't have people that regularly play, it can be tricky, particularly if you're a musician. And you pick it up and you pick up all the wrong sounds and times and beats and stuff like that. Anyway, we just did it. And there was the tambourines and the drums and the recorders. And it wasn't brilliant. Except for, I remember one young woman just playing her recorder, a little bit out of tune even. And wasn't professional. It wasn't like spot on. But there was something. And there was an awareness in his room, and in the room. He'd come. Maybe not even expected. I want to encourage us. Let's experience the presence of God. Those holy moments when he comes. Are we switched on? We are, yeah. I think sometimes we might rush on and move too quickly, but worship is all about him. The psalmist tells us, "You are holy, O you who inhabit the praises of Israel." He inhabits the praises, Israel, the people of God. He inhabits the praises of his church. Other translations say enthroned, but true worship and praise attracts his presence. I used to watch a little bit of Benny Hinn on TV from time to time, and I quite like Benny Hinn. I just quite like him. And I like what he stands for, because he's a real sensor of the presence of God. And when those moments come, he picks it up. And he's very hesitant. Benny Hinn, for those that don't know, he's a televangelist. He's an American pastor, evangelist, healing sort of guy. But in his crusades, when that sense of God comes, people take him wrong, I think, because it's like, be quiet, be still. I don't want a moment. I don't want to hear a cough. And people take it wrong. But I hear where he's coming from. I hear what he's doing. I don't want to spoil this time. And sometimes things can cut across. And his heart is so much, he's here in a special way now. Maybe healing's going to come. Maybe words are going to, maybe God's going to move. I don't want to spoil that. I understand where he's coming from. And I think we need to be open to those special times too. Experiencing the felt presence of God is so special. That's when one touch changes everything. So when Jesus said to Martha, "There's only one thing worth being concerned about," Martha was busy, distracted, getting on with life. Mary was sitting at his feet. And Jesus says, "Martha, there's only one thing being concerned about. Mary's discovered that, and it's not going to be taken from her." He was referring, of course, to the literal presence of God. That was actually Jesus himself. Mary didn't want to leave. She didn't want to get on and make dinner. She just wanted to stay there. And her sister couldn't understand it. "Jesus, tell her. There's food to prepare. There's guests coming. There's you're here. You know, we want to..." And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, Martha, slow down, slow down. This is a special time. And I'm not going to take away from Mary what she's receiving right now." And I think many of us, speaker included, can be a little bit like Martha. We can be so distracted by so many things in life. And there's not easy answers. Two people this week have talked to me about finding it difficult just to find a quiet moment for them and God, because they've got two little babies, little children on the way, have arrived. And I remember the days when James was upstairs in his cot, and I would just try to sneak down the stairs quietly to get a little bit of peace, and then James would hear me, and he would join me, and it wasn't quite what was being planned. And I know we have to work these things through in our families and how we do it, but Mary found something special. And somewhere, somehow, I want to encourage us to find those moments. Just connect with Jesus, connect with God, just him and me. And sometimes it can be ministry, sometimes it's family, sometimes it's work. All of these can be distractions, holidays, entertainment, but somewhere, somehow, church, let's find those moments, those times. Wow, he's come again. He's touched my life. And these are the moments, as I say, when one touch changes everything. I love G12. 90 of us were at the conference last week. Good number. I love the challenge. I love the focus. I love the opportunity to work together to help fulfill the dream of Jesus. But what I've noticed with the speakers, and the two main speakers this year were Pastor Caesar and Bishop Auriel, you hear their stories, you hear the amazing things that they've accomplished. But if you listen closely, you hear there's a private life there with the Lord. There's a secret place where they diligently and in a very disciplined way ensure they connect with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God and worship Him and give Him first place in their lives. I think they assumed maybe that everybody did that, and so if you do this, that, and the other, you're going to see amazing things. But no, it all comes back to you and me connecting with the Holy Spirit, Him touching our lives, us touching Him, Him filling us, empowering us. Spending time in His presence, we become changed, and we will become all that God wants us to become. Presence precedes purpose. The vision is important, but don't let the vision detract us from stopping and loving and receiving from Him. I was challenged afresh reading this week from Psalm 84, and Psalm 84 says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." And I thought, Lord, that's where I once was. I remember those times when I would leave my room and go upstairs and that. And I don't do that now. And I wrote in my meditation, they don't. My heart, my flesh doesn't faint and yearn like it used to. I'm not yearning like I did once did. Bring that hunger back to me, that I might be a God seeker, that I might be somebody that just loves the presence of God in such a way that this becomes a high priority in my life. And then verse 10 goes on, "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere." So why do we spend all our time elsewhere? When the psalmist says, but one day is better than 1,000 out there. That's why, by the way, church is important. That's why cell is important. When we gather in His name, He comes. If He didn't come, I wouldn't want to gather. But because He comes, I do. Well, I might want to gather, so I do like most of you as well. But He is the person that makes it all so different. It's His presence when He comes. And it's His presence that transforms everything. That's why worship's important. Not just songs or good music, but love from our hearts expressed to our King and Saviour. I still believe He wants to do so much more among us in the area of worship. And He will. I believe He will as we're faithful and as we connect, not just on Sundays, but as we connect during the week and we bring the overflow of that connection, and we will see amazing things happen. Hallelujah. So we need to be presence-centered. And one reason is that presence, His presence, sets us apart from all the other people on earth. Now in the Old Testament, He came and He went. Wasn't always there. But in the New Testament, the promise is He'll never leave us. That's amazing. I get that. But the sense of His presence can leave us. David in the Old Testament knew that sin had become such a barrier in his life. He said, "Cast me not away from your presence." He felt God had gone and he had gone. That was Old Testament. And he came and he had to repent and the consequences remained, but he found that way back to God again. In the New Testament, in our lives, in 21st century, that sense of His presence can also move away if we just continue to ignore, to disobey, to sin, to live a messed up life. I mean, in grace, sometimes He will still come and we don't deserve it and He still comes. But I want to encourage us, if that sense of His presence, that closeness of His presence is distant or long time back, do what we need to do. To encourage those times of closeness again. And if the stuff in our lives, which is a bit of a barrier, let's ask God to deal with that too. So Moses was having a discussion with God. We won't read it all. And it was Moses that was saying, unless you go with me, Lord, unless your presence is with me, why will anybody take any notice? And the Lord says, I will go with you. My presence will go with you. And Moses asks this question, what else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth other than his presence? He makes us different from every other people group on earth. The presence of God in the people of God. That's why when street pastors go out on the streets, as they go out with a sense of his presence, they can be so different to any other good-meaning person because they're carrying God with them. The church on the streets, Jesus on the streets, through the church. As Malcolm and other guys hand out food parcels and do the stuff for the poor, they can do something so much more than any other good agency can do, non-Christian agency, because they're taking God with them. His presence. And I just think as we're more aware and open to God, we might find things happening out on the streets that we're not even expecting. We're just given sandwiches out, but maybe there's just a touch of healing. Maybe there's that word of hope. Maybe there's that restoration or deliverance or word of knowledge that comes because we take him with us. Others can't do that, but we have this incredible privilege that sets us apart from every other people group. So if he's here, as he is, we should expect healing and joy, restoration, blessing in our own lives and to be imparted to others. Because he's here, we should expect to see grace, forgiveness, generosity, love, just ministered out of us. It's his love flowing through us. That's why we need that connection. We'll run out of human generosity and love. But when it's his love flowing through us, it keeps going. And that river keeps flowing. Everything starts and ends with his presence. Let me just show you something a little bit theologically. In Genesis, we read that in the evening, God would come and walk with Adam and Eve. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the time of the day that God was looking forward to more than anything else. Fellowship with two created in his likeness. And he would come and he would walk with them. There was no other plan. It was communion, it was fellowship, it was love, it was relationship. That was God's plan for each of every one of us. And then we read the fulfillment of his dream, because in Revelation 21, we see this. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, that's us, by the way, the church of Jesus Christ, those who've gone before us, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. What was expressed with Adam and Eve in Genesis is completed and fulfilled with multitudes of every tribe, tongue, and nation across the earth, part of this church that he's saved out of darkness. And we are the people of God, and he comes among us. Isn't that amazing? He comes among us. And do you note something here, just as an aside? It doesn't look like we're going up there. It looks like he's coming down here. We go to meet him if we're still alive, and then we join him on the way down as he inhabits this earth, this new earth, with the people of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And our bodies are changed, and we live forever with him. What a glorious hope, what a glorious day. All part of the plan, the purpose of God, the presence of God. And of course, purpose helps him fulfill that plan. So the beginning and the end, it's all to do with him. There's no temple in those days. He is the temple. He's there. He fills everything. He is all and in all. And the heart and dream of God is that he has a people for himself who love and enjoy him, and he enjoys our presence. But with all that I've said, there's still a danger. We can be presence-focused churches and think that's it. Presence without purpose and we become self-centered, experience-focused, navel-gazers, and miss the greatest plan of all, to be co-workers with him, part of his dream team. Do you say amen? If we just focus on presence, and me and my little time in my bedroom and on my knees and crying before him, if that's all life's about, beautiful as that expression might be, I've missed the call of God on my life. He wants much, much more. That's why I read that verse at the beginning from Mark. Jesus went up on the mountainside, called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. What's the first thing Jesus did? He called those he wanted. Jesus wanted friendship, fellowship. Never good for man to be alone. Well, not for too long anyhow. And so he called them. This was presence. He wanted their presence. He wanted their fellowship. He formed that cell of 12 for fellowship. They weren't his only disciples. There were others too. But these were the ones who were close to him. And in his presence, they changed. They caught his heart. They caught his dream. They learned to be like him and to like the things he liked. He taught them truth. He opened their spiritual eyes. He challenged them and rebuked them. But he loved them. And he cared for them. And they enjoyed life together. They were eating, walking, partying. But all the time he was imparting life to them. So I was thinking about those words, how Jesus operated. You know, the Holy Spirit does pretty much the same thing for each and every one of us too. He wants to do the same. He wants to bring all those things that Jesus brought. And sometimes he uses mentors and disciples to help us. So often it's the word of God to speak into us. But he wants to change us and shape us to be more and more like him. And for 3 years or so, they spent time together. But he had a plan. And we read Jesus called to him those he wanted, that he might send them out to preach. Presence linked with purpose. Spend time with me, catch my heart, be filled with my spirit, but go. That was the plan of Jesus. Don't stay, go. Stay in Jerusalem until, then go. Even the first invitation from Jesus, come. Invitation, presence, come, follow me. And I'm going to send you out to fish for people. Jesus never lost sight of purpose. Many churches have. Some just come and worship, fellowship, shake, fall over. Come back the next week, do the same thing. Oh, God's in that place. Oh, I need to go back there again. Or they rush off to somewhere else for an even greater experience or greater sense of falling to the floor or a greater shake. And I have no problem. I've done that. I have no problem with that as long as it flows into purpose. As long as it flows into purpose. I said when Heather and James were bringing the Ranger of the Toronto team to come, I said, that's absolutely great. It's an amazing church. They've done amazing things. The church in the world has been impacted and affected by them. But it needs to flow into purpose. And it is. When you hear what they're planning to do with us, it will flow into purpose. We need both. And that's the intention of Jesus. Experience me. Be filled. Follow me, pray, fellowship, but go fishing for souls. Change your town, change your city, change your nation. I hope you hear my heart. I'm a presence seeker, maybe as much as you or even more, but I know I'm here for more than that. I know I'm here to go out and to make him known. And I believe we need both, the presence of God linked to the purpose of God. And nothing's going to stop the church of God fulfilling what we've been called to do. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, he wants to come. I just want to give opportunity. We're going to have a sing a song in closing in a moment or two. I want to give opportunity for at least two responses, but anybody can respond for anything you want. we don't mind. It may be some, what I've talked about. Somebody said to me the other day, since I've been coming along to this church, I've realized it's not just religion, there's a relationship involved. Yes, it's not religion, although sometimes we try to make it that, but it's not religion, it's relationship. It's heart. And it may be that some of you thought that becoming a Christian just meant, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do the other, if they want me there every Sunday, blah, 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 blah. You've missed the whole thing. Jesus died, that's what we celebrated earlier on today. Jesus died for us, to give us his life. He died to restore us, to reconcile us, to give us the opportunity for that relationship again, and to bring new life. Not that everything is rosy and wonderful from there on in. Sometimes there's big struggles we go through, but he's there with us in those struggles. And if you want to experience it, it might be some here have never experienced that sense of salvation and forgiveness of sins. I'll tell you, that's a weight off your shoulders, forgiveness of sins. You've never experienced that. Then in a moment or two, I want to pray for you and give you that opportunity. And it might be you're here for the first time, or you've been many, many times, and you've said, well, something's clicking. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to not just have those experiences of falling over on the floor. That's all secondary. It's experiencing God. It's experiencing him. And I want to live for him. And I want to lay down my life for him. And it might be there's some here who said, well, I used to be there. Never. I used to experience some of those things that you were talking about, but my life, my love for God's grown cold. I just need to be warmed up again. I just want to come back to him. Well, I want to give you that opportunity to come forward for prayer. We'll have a ministry team, and we want to pray. I'm not going to pray just for a magic touch like that, but I just want to pray that he comes, touches our hearts, and things happen on the inside that enable us to continue a walk with him, that we can serve him and live for him. So two opportunities for prayer. One, if you've never given your life to Jesus in the first place, or if you've backslidden and you just say, I need to come back to him, and I want to give you that opportunity to come. And then secondly, if you've said, well, I need more of that sense of his purpose. I want to be like Mary. I want to learn to know what it is to stop and to receive so that I can give. Then there's that opportunity to come forward too. So would we stand together? Just say this prayer after me, please. Lord, I thank you for your love demonstrated on the cross. You gave your life for me, and I want to give my life to you. I come today. I receive your forgiveness. I thank you that you make me right before God. And a child of God, come into my life. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live for you from this day on. In the name of Jesus, amen. And that prayer, when men in faith and belief, can take you from darkness, bring you into light. That prayer can transform your life. So if there's anybody at all that's prayed that today, and for the first time have really meant those words, would you just like to raise your hand so I can see? Because I want to invite you to come to the front, and we're going to give you some literature, and we'd like to pray with you. It's not religion, it's relationship. It's to do with God coming in, changing our lives, and us having a fellowship with him too. So if there's anybody at all, just raise your hand so I can see it. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to receive some literature and to come forward for prayer. There's a hand over there. Thank you. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, we rejoice. At least one person, I'm not sure, it might be others, at least one person saying, I want to give my life to you. Can we just express our love, our gratitude to God? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Whoa! 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 I don't know if you've come with a friend. If you have, get a hold of them maybe, and then if you'd like to just come down here to the left side. And if there's anybody else that I've not seen that says, I want to recommit, for the first time, or I just want to come back to God again, then please come forward here. And if there's anybody else that says, oh, I just want prayer, I want to know that sense of God in my life again, I want to experience that life because God's called me to make a difference, but I know it starts with Him. If you'd like to come forward too, there's a ministry team, they will be up here, and come forward while we're singing the next song. And after the song is sung, we will pray with you, but we'd like to come forward and then we can do that. So Matt, over to you. Thank you. And please come forward for prayer. That young person, if you'd like to come forward, I'd like to.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk. Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.